Chavches Reb Moshe Resnick.
Kina Chavches has the refrain, Ve'ech Ne'enachem. How could we be comforted? Read all tragedies that happen in Tisha B'Av. We know about the tragedies that happen all throughout Jewish history. And God forbid a person could get a certain sense of despair. It's hopeless, what can we do? So I just wanted to focus on a few ideas that I came across this past number of months about how we should always recognize in the midst of every tragedy, in the midst of every challenge, Yiddishkeit tells us you can never despair, there's always hope, we can always improve even the most desperate, dire situation. The Volbe and the Ali Shore strongly encouraged us to never give up and to have hope even when we feel like a sword or gezeira is on our neck. He wrote that one with real bitachon doesn't anticipate Hashem will deal with him exclusively with chesed, and he accepts whatever with love, whatever Hashem does bring upon him. There's also a trait related to bitachon called tikva, hope. Gemara Brachot tells us a story with Yeshaya, who went to visit Hizkiyahu, the king, who was close to death. Yeshaya told Hizkiyahu, because he had never had children, to avoid evil offspring he knew he was destined to have, that he would not only die, but he would not marry to Olam Haba. Hizkiyahu then asked Yeshaya to marry his daughter, and through their combined merits, nullify possibly this terrible decree against him. Yeshaya replied, there's no point. The decree, Gezeirah, has already been established. Hizkiyahu responded to Yeshaya, I have a tradition passed down from my father's house. Even if a sharp sword rests on the neck of a person, don't hold yourself back for rachamim. And right then, Hizkiyahu turned his face towards the wall and davened. What was the wall? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, refers to the walls of the heart. Rav Volbe said, while there's many great things we can learn from this story, the main point, which is relevant here, is that Gezeirah had already been issued, and there seemed to be nowhere else to turn, but Hizkiyahu did not give up. He davened from the totality of his heart. The Gemara continues, based on Malachim, he wept in intense weeping, and Hashem right then told Yeshaya to tell Hizkiyahu, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, behold, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And therefore we see there's hope. But even when a sharp sword, an actual gezeirah from Kadosh Baruch Hu, is resting on the neck of a person. Rabbeinu Yonah explained this idea. An additional obligation of bitachon, we must know with our hearts, Hakol bidei shamayim, all is in the hands of heaven. We therefore have the ability to change both nature and our mazel, spiritual destiny. There's no block for our salvation, neither big nor small, and although one, the difficulty may be very close, salvation can also come immediately. God's all-powerful, and nothing can hold back his plan. Have been tougher in Hashem in all times of difficulty and darkness, and know you can always, even when the sharp sword is resting on our neck, you can always turn around. Rav Volbe continued that this prayer that emanates from Bitapa is rooted in a complete emunah. Hashem is all-powerful, and nothing in the world can stand in the way of his will. Once to save you, salvation can come in the blink of an eye. While bitachon itself not only doesn't require that only tov v'chesed will come, but the prayer that emanates from bitachon does require us to hope in the hope of Hashem. It's the ability to save us even when it seems there's no way out. Bitachon and its offspring tikva are almost like two opposites within the same topic. Bitachon, not to anticipate, will always be good, but hope that all will be good. But with true bitachon, we'll combine both of them in his heart. Rav Shem Pinchas discussed many different kinds of tefillah in the Sefer Sharim B'Tefillah. He wrote there's a tefillah called Pegiya, which means to make a multitude of requests with a stubbornness and determination to achieve what it is we desperately want. It's as if we allow God no rest or tranquility till He fulfills our request. We simply increase and persist with our davening without interruption. And even if we're not so fitting according to our deeds, even so Hashem will fulfill our requests, as long as they're not bad for us. This is incredible advice and a very practical approach for us. And this is what Jews did all throughout the generations. When they were determined to achieve something specific, they went all out with their tefillah, what people call turn the world upside down. They davened so much, and all of it was directed towards the same goal, that this became a distinctive type of tefillah. One goes out to battle with tefillah day and night, never stopping, never weakening, till they achieve rachamim from Shemayim, and they achieve the request. Rav Shimon ben Pinchas points out, however, we have to be very careful when utilizing this type of tefillah. There are two points to keep in mind. The first is that we are very far from knowing what's truly good for us. Therefore, we should not be too stubborn with any specific matter. We know how frequently we'd ask for something, and in the course of time it became clear just how good it was that we did not get what we had asked for. So one approach is to always ask for things in a general way, that all should be in accordance with God's will, and Hashem should send us only what He Himself knows is best for us. Secondly, we should be very careful our requests be made with the proper respect to Hashem. Along with the incredible closeness, we need to feel we can never, even for one moment, forget our obligation of fear and trembling towards overwhelming greatness. Even if some in the previous generations did make some demands on Hashem, it's impossible for us to learn from them since we're so small and so filled with transgressions. However, when a person is faced with a difficulty or some pressing matter and wants to utilize this mode of tefillah, they would greatly increase their singing of Tehillim, the classical texts of prayer that were composed by elevated sages. They should then cry out from the depths of their heart before Hashem with a determined plea over and over, Hashem will be, and God's will be expressed through this. It's natural for complaints to enter the heart, for one to claim Hashem is not paying attention to their concerns. The Gemara even tells us about a woman who came to deny Hashem because she felt her prayers hadn't helped. Be very careful not to stumble in this, to remember the principles our rabbis taught us, that no person ever has a valid complaint against God. Whatever Hashem does is for the good, plus all the other foundations of the Torah. Rav Pinchas concluded, and when Moshe himself saw his prayer to enter Israel was not accepted, we started the verse, Hatsur Tamim Palo Ki Kol Terachav Mishpat Kiel Emunah Ve'ena Ve'al Tzadik V'Yasharhu. God's work is perfect, while His paths are just. God's reliable without iniquity, He is righteous and straight. Rav Pinchas emphasized that this understanding is absolutely essential for anyone that wants to utilize this type of tefillah. And three last sources that discuss the power of tefillah. Rabbeinu Bachya said, you need to know the power of tefillah is great, even to change nature, to save one from danger, and to nullify a decree. To change nature, we learn from Yitzchak, because the rabbis tell us the matriarchs were barren, because the Hashem desires the tefillah of the tzaddikim. We see there was no barrenness except because of tefillah. When they davened, they actually changed nature. To save one from danger is learned from different pasukim and tehillim, and to nullify a decree is learned from the story with Hizkiyahu, because Hashem added 15 years to his life through the power of tefillah. The Meiri explained, although we say people are judged in Rosh Hashanah for life and death, poverty and difficulty, loss and profit, a person should not give up on tefillah and tshuva every single day. Even the gezar din of a person can be torn up through tshuva and loss of tefillah. The gate is never shut in front of us. And all the more so, since some of the great rabbis said, a person is judged every single day. And both the things are really true for those who possess understanding. Although it seems like we can only justify our daily davening, according to the opinion that says a person is judged every single day, that's only true in terms of general prayers said for the sake of others. Any prayer for ourselves, as well as specific prayers for others, even the rabbis that say one's judged only on Rosh Hashanah, will agree they can be made every day, as we know, even if a sharp sword is resting on the neck of a person, don't hold yourself back from rachamim. And finally, the Marsha said, with much effort and help from Hashem, with tefillah and with zechuyot, it's possible to change the gezerah from heaven. The foundations of these matters that a Jew with his tefillot and request is able to change his mazel and gezar din, to transform them into the good, is explicit in Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yitzchak said, four things tear up the gezar din of a person: tzedakah, tzaka, changing one's name and changing one's action, and some say even changing one's location. So say that, as I say the keynote, we feel the pain and we feel the anguish of all the things that happened on Tisha B'Av and throughout Jewish history. We have to remember that through tefillot and through our zechuyot and through never giving up, even the most dire, even the most desperate situation can be changed for the better. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu help us to do that.